All right, ready to get our hands dirty? Today we're taking a deep dive into the world of injection molding.
Deeper than usual, right?
Exactly. We're going beyond the basics, you know, pellets to products, all that jazz.
We're talking hydraulics, the nitty-gritty of how it all actually works.
Yeah, the muscle behind the magic, so to speak. And we're basing this deep dive on a pretty cool technical document.
How does a hydraulic system function in an injection machine? It's a mouthful, but trust me, it's packed with fascinating insights.
So picture this. A mountain of plastic pellets on one side.
And a perfectly formed smartphone case on the other.
What's the invisible force that bridges that gap? What's orchestrating that transformation?
It all boils down to pressure. Precisely controlled pressure. And that, my friend, is where hydraulics take center stage.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how do these hydraulic systems work their magic? How do they inject molten plastic into a mold with, like, pinpoint accuracy?
At its core, a hydraulic system is all about converting mechanical energy into hydraulic energy. It's like this. We use a fluid.
Like oil or something.
Yeah, exactly. A special type of oil, actually. And we use this fluid to transmit force and motion.
So it's like using a liquid to push things around, but with a ton of power.
You got it. It's like having a super strong but incredibly precise hand.
Okay, so not your average handshake. But how much force are we talking about here? Is it like squeezing a stress ball or bench pressing a car?
Think bigger. Way bigger.
Whoa, okay. So walk me through this. How do these hydraulic systems generate and control all that power?
Well, it all starts with the heart of the system, you know, the hydraulic pump. It's the workhorse that gets everything moving.
The pump, huh? So what does it actually do?
Think of it like this. The pump takes mechanical energy, usually from an electric motor, and converts it into hydraulic energy by pushing the hydraulic fluid around.
Okay, creating pressure. So the pump is like the engine of the whole operation.
You could say that. It's what creates the flow and pressure that powers the entire system.
Right. But how does that raw power translate into the precise movements needed for injection molding? How do we get from pushing fluid to making a smartphone case?
Ah, that's where things get even more interesting. That's where valves come in.
Valves? Like in plumbing?
Kinda, but much more sophisticated. These valves are the traffic cops of the hydraulic system. They direct the flow of fluid, control the pressure, and make sure everything moves smoothly and accurately.
So they're like the brains of the operation, making sure everything goes where it's supposed to, when it's supposed to.
Exactly. We have directional control valves, which, well, control the direction of the fluid flow.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Then you've got pressure control valves, making sure things stay safe and consistent.
Okay, safety first. I get it. What else?
And then there are flow control valves, which are all about precision and timing. They regulate how fast or slow the fluid moves.
It's like this whole intricate dance of fluid and pressure.
It really is. But all that fluid needs to be stored somewhere, right? That's where the reservoir comes in.
The reservoir. Like a giant tank of oil.
Basically. But it's not just a passive container. Think of it more like a spa for the hydraulic fluid.
A spa.
It keeps the fluid cool, removes any contaminants, and generally makes sure the whole system stays healthy and happy.
So it's like the maintenance crew of the operation.
Exactly. And speaking of keeping things healthy, the type of fluid we use is super important too.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned it earlier. It's not just any old oil,
yeah.
Right?
Nope, not at all. We have to carefully choose the right fluid based on the specific needs of the injection molding process.
Mm.
Viscosity, temperature stability, all sorts of factors come into play.
So it's almost like choosing the right type of fuel for a race car. Get the wrong stuff and your performance suffers.
Precisely. And even with the right fluid, this whole system is generating a ton of power. We need some way to make sure it doesn't, you know, go off the rails.
Right. Safety is paramount. But how do we do that? How do we keep this powerful system in check?
Sensors and feedback devices. Think of them like the nervous system of the operation.
Whoa, so we've got a heart, a brain, now a nervous system. This hydraulic system is starting to sound like a living organism.
In a way, it kind of is. These sensors are constantly monitoring things like pressure, temperature, and position.
Making sure everything is running smoothly.
Exactly. And if anything starts to go out of whack, the sensors send a signal to the control system, which can then adjust things accordingly.
So it's like a self-regulating system, always making tiny adjustments to keep everything balanced.
You got it. And those adjustments are crucial for everything from safety to the quality of the final product. But there's so much more to talk about.
Yeah, I'm already hooked. We're just scratching the surface here. Okay, so these sensors are feeding information back to the system, making sure everything's in check.
Yeah, and that ties directly into this whole idea of pressure control.
Right, finding that sweet spot for each product, because too much pressure and, well, kaboom.
It's not quite that dramatic, but you're not wrong. Too much pressure and you risk damaging the mold, the machine.
Or ending up with a wonky product.
Exactly. And on the flip side, too little pressure and the plastic might not fill the mold completely.
So you end up with gaps or imperfections.
You got it. It's like trying to frost a cake with like a spatula that's too small. You're gonna miss spots.
Okay, so pressure control is all about finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too much, not too little, but just right. But how do these hydraulic systems know how much pressure to apply? Do they have like a pressure recipe book or something?
That's where those different operational modes come in. Remember, we talked about manual, semi-automatic, and fully automatic.
Right. So which one's the pressure chef?
Well, in manual mode, it's all about the skill of the operator.
So it's like hands-on pressure control.
Exactly. The operator uses their experience and judgment to adjust the pressure based on the specific product and material.
Okay, so it's like the artisanal approach to injection molding. What about semi-automatic? Does that take some of the pressure off the operator?
It does. In semi-automatic mode, some parts of the process are pre-programmed.
So the machine handles some of the pressure adjustments.
You got it. But the operator is still there to oversee things, making sure everything's running smoothly. It's a good balance between automation and human control.
Right. And then we have fully automatic mode. That sounds like where things get really high tech.
It is. In fully automatic mode, the entire injection molding process is controlled by a central system.
So the machine is basically calling all the shots.
Pretty much. It monitors the pressure, adjusts the valves, and makes sure everything happens exactly as it should, and all without any human intervention.
That's impressive. But how do we know the machine's going to get it right? What about those subtle pressure adjustments that might be needed for different materials or designs?
That's where those sensors and feedback devices we talked about earlier really shine. They're constantly feeding information back to the system, allowing it to adapt and fine-tune the pressure as needed.
So even in fully automatic mode, there's still a level of like awareness and responsiveness built into the system.
Exactly. It's not just blindly following a program. It's constantly analyzing the data, making micro adjustments, and ensuring that the pressure is always perfectly dialed in.
It's like the system is learning and adapting as it goes. Pretty cool. But I have to ask, what about safety? With all this automated power surging through the system, how do we make sure things don't go haywire?
Safety is paramount, and that's why these systems are designed with multiple layers of protection.
So it's not just about getting the pressure right, it's about making sure that pressure stays within safe limits.
Exactly. We have pressure relief valves, safety interlocks, all sorts of fail-safes in place to prevent any dangerous overpressure situations.
So it's like a safety net for the entire system.
You could say that. These safety mechanisms are constantly monitoring the pressure and will automatically shut things down if anything starts to get out of control.
That's reassuring. It's amazing how these systems are designed to be both powerful and safe at the same time. But I know we're just scratching the surface here. There's got to be more to this whole pressure control game.
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole world of advanced techniques and technologies out there, and they're constantly evolving.
Like what? Give us a glimpse into the future of pressure control.
One area that's really exciting is the integration of AI and machine learning.
Whoa, AI and injection molding. That sounds futuristic.
It is. Imagine a system that can not only monitor the pressure, but can actually learn and adapt based on the data it collects.
So it's like the system gets smarter over time.
Exactly. It can identify patterns, anticipate problems, and even optimize the pressure profile for each specific product.
That's mind-blowing. It's like taking the artistry of pressure control and giving it a technological boost. But with all this talk about automation and AI, it's easy to forget about the human element. Where do people fit into this increasingly automated world?
That's a great question, and it's something we need to think carefully about as we move forward.
Right, because ultimately it's people who design, build, and operate these systems. And it's people who use the products they create.
Absolutely. As we embrace automation, it's crucial that we don't lose sight of the human impact.
It's about finding that balance, right? Using technology to enhance our capabilities, not replace them entirely.
Exactly. And that brings us to another important point. We've been talking a lot about the technical aspects of pressure control, but there's also a human element to it.
Oh, you mean like the skill and experience of the operators?
That's part of it, but I'm also talking about the responsibility that comes with working with these powerful systems.
Responsibility. In what sense?
Well, think about it. These hydraulic systems are capable of generating enormous amounts of pressure. If something goes wrong, the consequences can be serious.
Right, there's a certain level of risk involved.
Exactly. So it's crucial that everyone involved in the process, from the designers to the operators, is aware of the potential hazards and takes the necessary precautions.
It's about respecting the power of these systems and using them safely and responsibly.
You got it. And that respect extends beyond the factory floor. As consumers, we need to be mindful of the resources and energy that go into creating the plastic products we use.
Right. It's about recognizing the impact of our choices and making informed decisions about the products we buy and use. But I feel like we're getting a little philosophical here. Maybe it's time to bring things back down to earth. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have, and it's been a fascinating journey.
It really has. We've explored the intricate world of hydraulic systems, uncovered the secrets of pressure control, and even glimpsed into the future of injection molding.
And we've learned that it's not just about raw power, it's about precision, control, and responsibility.
Well said.
Yeah.
But I think there's still one piece of the puzzle missing. We've talked a lot about how these systems work, but why should our listeners care?
Ah, that's the million-dollar question, and it's one that we need to answer clearly and compellingly.
Because ultimately, it's not just about the technology, it's about the impact the technology has on our lives.
Exactly. So let's connect the dots for our listeners. Let's show them how these seemingly complex hydraulic systems are actually shaping the world around them, how they're making our lives easier, more convenient, and more enjoyable.
Okay, I'm game. But how do we do that? How do we bridge the gap between the technical details and the everyday experiences of our listeners?
I think it's about telling stories, about showing our listeners how these systems are used to create the products they use and love, and about highlighting the people behind the technology, the engineers, the operators, the innovators who are constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
I like that. It's about humanizing the technology, making it relatable and relevant to our listener.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, it's not just about the machines, it's about the people who use them and the impact they have on our world. But I think we need a little break before we jump into that.
Agreed. Let's give our listeners a chance to catch their breath and digest all this amazing information. We'll be back soon to wrap up this deep dive and leave you with some final thoughts to chew on. Stay tuned. We're back and ready to wrap things up.
You know, it's easy to get lost in the technical details, but I think it's important to step back and appreciate the bigger picture here.
I agree. We've been talking about pumps and valves and sensors, but what does it all really mean? What's the takeaway for our listeners?
Well, for me, it's the realization that hydraulic systems are much more than just powerful machines. They're the invisible force behind so many of the products we use every day.
Exactly. Think about it. Almost every plastic object you encounter, from your toothbrush to your car's dashboard, was probably made using injection molding. And that process wouldn't be possible without the precise control of hydraulic systems.
So it's not just about industrial applications, it's about the things we touch and interact with on a daily basis. But how do we make that connection more concrete for our listeners? How do we help them see the impact of these systems in their own lives? I think it's about storytelling, about finding those relatable examples that connect the dots between the technology and their everyday experiences.
Okay, I like that. So let's paint a picture for our listeners. Imagine this. You reach for your coffee mug in the morning. It's made of plastic, right? But have you ever stopped to think about how that mug came to be?
It all started with a pile of plastic pellets, those tiny little beads of raw material. Those pellets were melted down into a liquid, and then using a hydraulic system, they were injected into a mold with incredible force and precision. Think of it like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube, but on a much larger and more complex scale.
And once the plastic cooled and hardened inside the mold, it was ejected as a finished product, your coffee mug, ready to be filled with your favorite brew. But that's just one example. Hydraulic systems are used to create a mind-boggling array of products.
It's true. Everything from medical devices to toys to car parts to those sleek smartphones we all rely on. And in each case, hydraulic systems are playing a crucial role behind the scenes, ensuring that those products are made with the highest level of precision and quality.
So the next time you pick up a plastic object, take a moment to appreciate the journey it took to get there. Think about the ingenuity and engineering that went into creating it. And remember those unsung heroes, the hydraulic systems, working tirelessly to make our lives easier, more convenient, and more enjoyable.
Well said. It's a hidden world of power and control, shaping our modern world in ways we often don't even realize.
So true. And on that note, we'll bid you farewell. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the heart of injection molding. We hope you've enjoyed the journey.